Welcome in here to week number three of Who's Gonna Win on KJN. Our chance to take a look at some area high school football games. The usual crew here with us, Matt Molenix, Doug Leonard, Jim Field, and myself, Chris Parks. We'll get right into a look at how we did last week and then have eight more games to pick for you here this week. We want to thank the folks at Ag Business Associates and Nishna Valley Credit Union for bringing you Who's Gonna Win each week. And we'll come back and recap how we did last week after this.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Welcome back now to Who's Gonna Win. Let's take a look at last week's ongoings here on our sheet. And, well, it kind of flipped the script from week number one. Doug had a rough week in week number one, and he has a good week here in week number two. He's actually the only one that looked like they halfway knew what they were doing with our picks this week. What's up with that?
Sometimes appearances can be deceiving.
Okay. Well, here's how it played out for us. There were some close games on the sheet, but then some others that maybe didn't turn out as close as we thought they probably would be. The first eight-man contest we had was Audubon and Cam. Audubon picked up a 67-24 win. We all had that one correct, so we all got to the Wheelers. The next game on the sheet was Bedford hosting Exira EHK. And Matt was the only one that went and took the Bedford Bulldogs, and they picked up a home win. 40-6 was the final there, as they really took it to the Spartans in that one. It was Griswold, a 28-0 winner over West Monona. We all picked that one correctly, so we all had the Tigers. Tri-Center, a 35-13 win over Riverside. We all picked that one correctly as well. But that's when things started to go south. We had St. Albert and Kemper Catholic, and just two of us getting that one correctly. Doug and Jim went with St. Albert, and they picked up the home win there on the hill against the Knights, and 21-13 the final there. Also, Doug went out on a limb with Logan Magnolia, and that was a really good limb to stand on. 34-7 the final score there as they took it to the Underwood Eagles. And also, it was Red Oak pulling off a limb pick for Doug, as he had them against Trainer. And they win it 26-0. They shut out the Trainer Cardinals. And then we all took Atlantic against Shenandoah. It was Shenandoah eking out the 7-3 win over Atlantic on Friday night, so we all came up short on that one. So here's how the overall standings look now. Doug went 6-2, so he's now 9-7 overall. And there are three of us now at 9-7 because I went 3-5. I'm now at 9-7 as well. Jim went 4-4. He's now at 9-7. And Matt's still at the top of the pile. He went 4-4 last week and 11-5 overall record here for Mr. Molenix. So he's still our overall leader.
Three limb picks last week, and they all held true. How often does that happen?
Yeah.
That's
a
strong tree.
The other trend to note there is don't bet against undomesticated felines. You've got the Logan Magnolia Panthers and the Red Oak Tigers. And you guys were betting against them.
So that's your system.
That is the system.
Okay.
Now we know.
A couple of them. Okay.
Moving on.
You can write him off again.
I'm out. Yeah.
Even undomesticated squirrels find nuts once in a while.
That's how we went last week. Unfortunately, it was a good week for another Panthers team, too. But we'll talk about
that a little later. We were going to talk about that, Chris.
Did hate to bring that one up. All right, let's take a look here at the first couple of games we have on the sheet for this week. We'll start off with a couple of eight-man picks here for us. And the first one could be an interesting one here in eight-man District 8 as Coon Rapids Baird travels to Audubon to take on the Wheelers. And, Doug, since you know all about how to pick felines, there's none involved here, but we'll let you go first on this one anyways.
Well, this is going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to seeing this game if I were traveling to Audubon. Coon Rapids Baird is off to an impressive start. They've picked up a nice win first week against Newell Fonda, and they have a couple of running backs that are really putting the yards on the record books there. Sam Obert and Brandon Riley are both chewing up yards on the ground. You know, Audubon was kind of led again last week by their offensive talents and Reboff and Nolan Smith. Both had good games. You know, I like the way Audubon has started the year. And being at home, I'm going to go with the Wheelers.
All right, 1-4 of the Wheelers to kick things off here. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I like the Wheelers as well at home. They've adjusted these first couple of games to the eight-man ball game and haven't seemed to drop off, I guess, as far as offensive production from a year ago with their Reboff and Smith, like Doug was saying there, and they get the home field advantage. You know, they're just playing awfully well right now, and I like their balanced attack. They can run the ball and throw the ball. Coon Rapids Baird, they're going to rely pretty heavily on running the ball. I'm going to go with the Audubon.
All right, that's 2 for the Wheelers. And, yeah, this could be an interesting game. Coon Rapids Baird, I think, has played some decent competition here to start the year. They do have a very good ground game of the way that the season has started. And Coach Kesselring up there seems to have a pretty good program each year. They kind of fit the mold of what's thrust, but they're liking to run here this year. But I also am kind of on the Wheeler bandwagon, so to speak. I think they've really transitioned well. They've got some good talent. That 1-2 punch with Reboff and Smith is really good. So I think they'll be able to eke one out here at home, and might be a closer game than they've had here so far. But we'll take the Wheelers. Jim.
Yeah, and we've typically seen that. We've talked about that, too, with the transition to eight-man this year. But when you have good athletes, you know, you could go out and play three-man football, I guess, you know, as long as you got three good guys out there. Audubon has fewer star-type players than what they had last year, but they have three fewer slots on both sides of the line to fill, too. So they just did it really well. And I really think that they match up well against Coon Rapids Baird. We saw Audubon in that first week against Exira EHK. Exira EHK struggled moving the ball, really, until they started throwing the ball a little bit more. They really were shut down in a lot of cases by Audubon's defense, and Coon Rapids Baird almost exclusively runs the football. So it'll be interesting to see that kind of a matchup, too. I like Audubon's chances in this one.
Clean sweep for the Wheelers here in game number 1. We'll move on to another 8-man contest here. This is in District 7 play as Sydney travels to Exira EHK. A third straight tough week here for the Spartans now, it looks like, the way things have shook out. Matt, what do you think?
Well, and, you know, it can be noted that the first 2 weeks were non-district matchups, and from here on out, you know, everything counts towards the playoffs towards the end of the year. And I think, you know, Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton, they had a decent non-district schedule that they, you know, did intentionally to make sure they're ready to go for district play, but they've kind of been hit, I think, with a little few injuries in there that might be some key injuries for them. Sydney, they also played a couple of tough or maybe one tough game up front there, and almost eked out a win over Bedford in week 1. I like their balance. They're going to do most of it on the ground, of course, but plus they're deep. You know, they've got a lot of kids playing out there, so I know it's a long road trip, but I think Sydney. I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
All right, 1-4 the Cowboys from way down there in the southwest corner of the state, and yeah, a little bit of a jaunt for them to head up to Exira to play this one. Yeah, it's a tough start to the season for the Spartans. You play two teams that transition from the 11-man game down to 8-man, which sometimes provides you some benefits, you know, having more kids to work with, and it's worked out well, obviously, for those teams in Audubon and Bedford so far. Yeah, the Spartans dealing with injuries, I think that's the biggest thing. There's some question marks on who's going to be able to go for them once again here this week. They had some players out last week when they lost that game to Bedford that are important players. So it's tough to win when you've got that kind of question working each week of who's going to fill in, who's going to play with where. And like Matt said, I like Sydney's balance here so far. They seem to have a lot of guys they can plug into some good spots, and they're wanting to try to contend there in that district. So I think I'll go with the Sydney Cowboys as well. Jim, what do you think?
All right. Well, Sydney beat, West Harrison last week? I think if we had enough pads and helmets to go around, the four of us could go beat West Harrison. And we're not in the ideal physical condition we used to be. West Harrison's not that. I didn't see a lot of consistency out of Sydney looking through numbers and things last week. A lot of kids played and whatever, but how does that help you get prepared, too? I mean, it's nice to know that you have a little bit of depth on your team, but I don't know. I'm going to take the chance that Xyra EHK is a little healthier this week than they were last week, and that Tom Peterson, I'm pretty sure, has gotten into the ear of some of those guys by now, and that they're going to win this one at home.
All right, so one for the Spartans here at home. Doug, what do you think?
Well, I was impressed by Sydney's close game with Bedford. The Spartans, weren't able to compete quite as well against Bedford. Looking at that, but again, I think it comes down to injuries a little bit and getting back into district play. I'm sure Coach Peterson's going to have them up, and I don't see them starting 0-3. I just have a hard time believing that. So I'm going to take Xyra EHK.
All right, so we split that one down the middle there between Sydney and Xyra EHK. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll start with an Class A game here coming up for you in just a moment. Listening to Who's Going to Win here on KJN.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Back now on Who's Going to Win, and we are going to get into some 11-man football now if we start in Class A, District 7. And this is a matchup here between Riverside and Griswold, and this will be our broadcast game here tonight for you as well, by the way, as Mike Smith and myself will be down in Griswold to bring you this contest. Both teams struggling here to start the season. Griswold was able to bounce back, pick up that win, a shutout win over West Monona at home last week. Obviously, Riverside lost to West Monona in week number one, so that's your comparative score so far. I think Griswold's got a little bit more going for them offensively. That's the key here. Riverside doesn't have a lot of offense to rely on. They had a nice performance there from Chance Mace last week there for Griswold, and I think he's going to be the key on the ground once again for the Tigers. So I'll take Griswold here in this one. Jim.
All right, I'm going to go with the home team as well in Griswold. Despite the 1-1 start, I think their defense has been fairly decent. They've been gaining some ground as time has gone. And, yeah, a lot of new faces here. I'm seeing a lot of new names in the Griswold lineup. So they're a few weeks in now. I like them to take this one on at home.
All right, two for Griswold. Doug, what do you think?
Big Cats beat the Bulldogs.
There you go.
Yeah, take Griswold too.
Are they undomesticated cats?
They are. Yep.
You need to set yourself up for the rest of the year on that one.
Try to cage the Tigers. All right, let's see. Matt, what do you think?
Well, I think I'm going to go with Griswold as well. Look at the comparative scores. Like we've already said, Griswold's going to get done on the ground. Obviously, they have yet to throw a pass this year with Chance Mace. But like Jim said, I think their defense, even in their loss to Missouri Valley, they still played pretty decent. Missouri Valley can get an offense rolling if they need to. They've got Wyatt Robinette on the defensive side. He's made a ton of tackles already in the first two games. So Chance Mace run the ball. I think they just have a little more to them, and they're at home.
All right, that's a clean sweep there for Griswold. Our next matchup here is a Class 2A District 7 game as Underwood plays host here to Clarinda. And, Jim, you get to first crack at this one.
I don't know.
I agree.
Is that a reasonable answer? Can I just throw that out there and leave it? I don't know. I really don't. Underwood, they kind of laid an egg last week with Logan Magnoli a little bit, and – boy, Clarinda just hasn't looked all that impressive. I thought the first game against Atlantic would be one that, okay, that'd give, even though they came up short, I thought that would be one that would give them some momentum moving forward, but apparently not. Honestly, I don't know. I'm just going to go with Underwood there at home. I have no idea what to think of this game.
All right, one for the Eagles. Doug, what do you think?
Well, you know, I think Clarinda has had some turnovers. I think they're getting used to that, you know, guys stepping up into the varsity role with that spinner back offense that they have. And I think after a couple weeks, maybe they'll have that down. They ran into a buzzsaw against Creston, but I think a lot of teams are going to have a tough time against Creston. So I'm going to take the Cardinals on the road.
All right. It's one for Clarinda. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, this is a tough ball game to call because you have had Clarinda stepped up, and they've played Atlantic and Creston these first 2 weeks. And so those have been two 3A schools that they've had to play against. Underwood, on the other hand, I think when they got Trainer, 2A school, and Logan, 1A maybe. So,
yeah.
But is this Underwood's first year in 2A? Right. Okay. So with that said, I think I'm going to go with Clarinda. Underwood has not seen this offense. And it's something that Logan is a little similar, rushing. You know, there's a lot of deception back in there. So I think they weren't able to handle it last week. They're not going to be able to handle it this week. I'm going to go with Clarinda. So.
All right. It's two there for the Cardinals. And I did catch a little bit of Coach Strait there for Logan Magnolia last week after the win over Underwood. He said he thought the game was a little bit closer than the scoreboard indicated at the end of the game. But they obviously did take advantage and really put some points up on the board to get that win. And I was surprised. I thought Underwood would make that a little bit more of a competitive ball game for sure. So that kind of readjust your thinking on a few different teams with the result of that one last week. And Clarinda, like Jim had mentioned, I haven't been super impressed with them. They've got a long ways to go, I think. But the way that Underwood performed last week doesn't give me much confidence. So I'm going to go with Clarinda here. I think they'll eke one out here in this one as Underwood is jumping up to that 2A level. That's a limb pick there for Jim with Underwood. We'll move on here to another Class 2A 7 game. And this one also could be kind of interesting. It's Shenandoah on the road at Kemper Catholic. And Doug, what do you think here?
Well, I'm sure the Mustangs will be, coming off feeling good about themselves after that win against Atlantic last week. I was able to listen to the KJN broadcast there and catch KJN TV, as a matter of fact, watching that game online.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you, Chris, tuning in. Yeah.
And, I thought Atlantic did a pretty good job of shutting down Shenandoah for the most part on defense, but they did give up that touchdown run to Kyle Owens, and I thought he looked pretty quick on that run. He made some nice cuts and got in the end zone, so they have some talent there. Kemper, though, they dropped a tough one at the Falcons last week, St. Albert, but I think they've got a little more firepower, a little bit more on offense as well. So I'm going to take the Kemper Knights.
All right, that's one for Kemper. Matt, who's going to win?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Kemper Knights as well. I don't foresee this being too close a ball game. I think Carroll Kemper, Catholic, they've got too much. For as well as they played, play the first week, they just weren't able to get the ball up in the air last week against St. Albert. And St. Albert, from everything that we've heard, just has a real suffocating defense. So, they still were able to put up yards, but just not. And the turnovers kind of hurt them too. Close ball game still. So, I'm just gonna go with Kemper Catholic.
All right, that's two there for Kemper Catholic. And yeah, I was impressed by a couple of players for Shenandoah. As Doug had mentioned, the Owens kid did a good job running the football. Also had Nick Swanson there as one of their linebackers that kind of flew all over the field. He was a good player as well. So I think they've got maybe a little bit more star power than I expected going into watching them last week against Atlantic. But Kemper, yeah, that's a really, obviously, I think a really good team that they ran up against in St. Albert last week. I think St. Albert's made a real big improvement from last season to this season that I didn't really expect until we've seen some of these results roll in. Kemper, I think, does have a little bit more of the offensive firepower with Rue Piper on the ground. So I'm going to go with Kemper Catholic here at home as well. Jim.
More playmakers equals more points, and last time I checked, that's how you win football games. Score more than your opponent, right? Is it still the same way?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Kemper Catholic.
All right, a clean sweep there for Kemper Catholic in that one. Before we take a break, we've got one of three Class 3A District 7 matchups that we'll be picking here on this week's sheet. It's a pretty good start to the district season here this year with the way the schedule played out. And our first one is the Harlan Cyclones going on the road to take on Creston Orient Maxburg. And, of course, they've got a fine history behind them, even from last season as well. And, Matt, you get a first look here at this one.
Okay. Well, yeah, these last three ball games are going to be in this district here, this District 7 of Class 3A. And, you know, first 2 weeks, everybody, I think, saw some success for the most part. This one here, Harlan, they kind of righted the ship last week, I guess, if you will, against Greene County, who's probably down a little bit. But in the end, they did pick up the big win, over 300 yards of passing by Schmitz, I think, their quarterback, Schmitz. He was awful the first week of his passing, but he kind of corrected it last week. And then he also did some damage on the ground, too. He had 15 carries for 74 yards. But, of course, Foss was their workhorse with 26 carries, 139 yards. But then on the other side of the ball, you get Creston, and it's just Schultz, offensive line, and defense is what I have written down. On the road, I think Creston, in my opinion, is the top team in this district. And so with that, I'm going to go with the Panthers.
All right, that's one for Creston. And, yeah, it's an impressive backfield that they have there for the Panthers with Chase Schultz and then their quarterback, Kylan Smallwood. They both did the damage with their legs last week against Clarinda, really racked up that one early and put it away. I think they kind of had a chance to rest a little while at the end of that game preparing for this one against Harlan. You know Harlan's always going to be up and ready for a challenge against, you know, what is considered to be one of the top teams in the district, and they want to be one of those teams, but I think Creston's got a little bit more going on in that backfield, so I'm going to go with the Panthers as well. Jim?
Ditto. That's pretty much it. Ditto.
Okay. Ditto.
Yeah, I'm going with Creston also. Yeah, I just think there have been a lot of these games where Creston and Harlan have come in looking like they're, you know, gosh, this might be the year, and Creston might get over the hump here, and this might be one where Harlan. But I think this is actually the year where they are really set up and ready to go. I think they're healthy. I think they played some decent opponents in different ways to start the season that gave them an opportunity to show what they do and get themselves primed for the district season. And I think they're ready to go.
That's three for Creston. Is it a sweep, Doug?
Well, I think one of the local media outlets I saw mentioned this district and said there were four teams really that had a chance to win this district. I don't know about that. I hate to call out Harlan, but I don't know. I don't know if they haven't convinced me. I picked them against LC, but then they kind of let me down. So they're on my list a little bit, I guess. But Creston has been impressive this year. And I think, you know, they dropped the regular season game last year to Harlan, then they turned around and beat them first round in the playoffs. So I think they're going to continue that momentum against the Harlan Cyclones. I'm going to take the Panthers.
Yeah, that might be the one thing that, you know, we didn't mention, kind of that motivation for Harlan to get them back from the way the last season ended for them. But, yeah, Creston, tough team there in the backfield, and we're all going to take them there for a clean sweep. Got a couple more of those Class 3A District 7 games to pick when we come back after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Who's Going to Win here on KJN.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, for Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Back on Who's Gonna Win as we hit to our final couple of picks here on the sheet. And it's Class 3A District 7 here. And this one is a matchup to start off between Carroll and Glenwood, as Glenwood plays host to the Carroll Panthers. It'll be or Tigers. It'll be interesting to see what Glenwood has up their sleeve here. I've been really impressed with the way Glenwood has started the year. They played two 4A schools, put them away schools, but they really put the points up pretty early in those games, took control of the game, and I like some of the offensive weapons that they have back from last season. Colton Wilwerding is a good player at the quarterback spot for them. Maverick Decker, I think, is one of the best receivers in the district, and he's a weapon that they have out there to use. Carroll, on the other hand, has been doing some pretty good things themselves. They've been fairly efficient, kind of mixing it up. Dayton Ross on the ground, and they've done some things through the air as well. But I think I'm going to go the homer route here, and I think the Glenwood Rams are going to pick up the victory here against Carroll. Jim?
Well, this is easier for me because I'm not from Glenwood or Carroll. But I'm not going to agree with you. I'm going to go with Carroll. I was a little bit more impressed with the opponents that Carroll has played so far this year and beating their two opponents. I thought they've been playing pretty well. I was impressed last week. No matter what kind of a football team Bishop Heelan Catholic comes in with, they always have about 170 guys on the sideline. I mean, they just have numbers all the time. And I was pretty impressed they were able to hold them off last week and win that football game. So I'm going to go with Carroll on the road.
All right. Ooh. So we split it up here so far.
A shocker.
Doug, what do you think?
Well, this would be an entertaining ball game to watch tonight. I'm sure it's going to be they're going to be battling for a trip to the dome. Could be. I mean, the top two teams probably in each district, and you know, between Carroll, Glenwood, and Creston, it's a chance that one of those teams might be left out. So, you know, I guess I'm with Jim. I kind of liked how Carroll went on the road. They hadn't beaten Heelan in a while, and were able to go on the road. You know, they've got a good running back in Dayton Ross, and looks like an effective quarterback as well. So I think they've got a varied offense there. I'm going to take the Tigers.
All right, that's two for
again,
Carroll.
It's the feline.
Yeah, it's got that feline swagger, I guess. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, another good ball game. Last week in their victory over Heelan, they just weren't as effective throwing the ball. Did a lot of it on the ground. However, their quarterback, I think the offensive line let the defense get to the quarterback. I think he had 12 carries for a negative 34 yards, 7 of 20 passing. But they have put up some big numbers. But again, I think a lot of that came in the first week. Glenwood, though, we've already talked about all their weapons, balanced rushing attack with Sherry and Loffelbean and Neville and Decker and Bloom on the receiving court for their quarterback, Wilwerding. So with that being said, I think Glenwood has too many weapons offensively and defensively. I think they're just awfully tough. I know the Council Bluffs schools may not be as tough but this year, but they still, I think, only allowed one touchdown between the two games. So Glenwood.
All right, a couple there for the Rams. We split that one up. Our last pick here on the sheet is a home game here for the Atlantic Trojans in Class 3A District 7 as they play host to Denison Schleswig, of course, a team that they picked up their lone victory on the year last year against on the road. And, Jim, you get first look here at this one.
Well, I'm going to be consistent. I don't know. I just don't know.
You just put a lot of work in. You got to get out of the office.
I have. Offense. I'm looking for offense. Can anybody find some offense? if Atlantic can get something going, I'm hoping that they've been kind of holding back until district play because it doesn't sound like they've been overly creative offensively quite yet. I'm sure they've got much more of a playbook to open up with yet. But they're at home. I'm going to give Atlantic an opportunity here this week at home, hoping they open up the season. I think Denison's a middle-of-the-road kind of team as well. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But I'm going to go with Atlantic.
All right. That's one for the Trojans. Doug, what do you think?
Well, as mentioned earlier, you know, I thought, the defense has been pretty stingy for Atlantic. They've really done a good job, did a good job last week against Shenandoah. Denison, I think they broke a, 15-game losing streak? I don't know. They hadn't won one in a while last week versus East Sac County, but I think they were the beneficiary of several turnovers from talking to some people that are familiar with East Sac County. I think Atlantic, if they can, as Jim said, get the offense going. I mean, I think they have some quality skill players, and I think the offensive line is starting to gel a little bit. And if they can keep avoiding the injury bug, hate to bring that up, but like we had last year, so bad. You know, if we can keep everybody healthy, maybe we're going to gel this week and get the ball down the field and get in the end zone. So I'm going to take the Trojans.
All right, two for Atlantic. Matt.
Okay. For as much as Atlantic likes to run the ball, Denison Weavers is 18 for 40, 6 touchdowns, but he also has 4 interceptions. So I think that plays into the strength of Atlantic. Like I said, their defense has really carried them along, stepped up really well. So I think, that'll come into play. But like Jim already alluded to, we got to get some things going because only 2 touchdowns in the first 2 ball games, whereas Denison scored 8. So you just got to get there and get it done. So, but I think making a few personnel changes this week, and I think they'll come out with a victory, and it's homecoming.
All right, yeah, a little extra motivation. Try to pick one up here at home. So that's 3 for the Trojans. I will make it a clean sweep. I did like what I saw from the Atlantic defense. And going up against a team that is primarily going to try to put it through the air, I think that's one of the strengths of the Atlantic defense. There's some of those players that are in the secondary, that second level. So hopefully they'll be able to take care of business in that regard and then find a little bit of that offense to be able to try to pick up a victory here. So clean sweep for Atlantic in that game. Of course, we do have our annual tiebreaker that we've got to throw in here at the end, as much as I don't really want to talk about this one. Iowa hosting Iowa State this Saturday in Iowa City, and, who wants to pick this first?
Didn't it come into play last year?
It did come into play last year.
It was like the first time
it came into play. As Jim and I had tied record-wise, but, of course, the Hawkeyes had the victory, so he got the win. All right, let's see here. As this would go, it would be Doug if we kept with the theme of where we're picking. So I guess I'll let Doug have first ideas on this.
Well, I unfortunately saw that UNI game in person. And credit to the Panthers. They played well. I would say it had some things that they could clean up. They had some turnovers and some issues with penalties and some shakeup on the offensive line. So, it's going to be a tough ball game, but sometimes Iowa State's, gone on the road. And you know what? I actually heard an interesting statistic that
he's live over here.
Yes. The last
– he's back.
Gaining momentum.
I don't know, but the last time – is that true? No. The last time Iowa
– 2 years ago.
Won in Iowa City.
Yeah.
Instagram hadn't been invented yet.
I don't know what Instagram is.
I don't know. I'm just telling you. So I'm going to take the clones in a close ball game. I think they've got some good wide receivers. They're going to take advantage of that Maben guy. I don't even know who that is, but that's what I read on the message board. And I'm going to take the Trojans and the Cyclones.
On the line. He was on the line.
28-24.
28-24. All 52 right.
52 points.
Huh? One there for the Cyclones. All right, Matt, what do you think?
Well, I'll just be short and sweet since I think Doug probably used up our time limit. I'll go with Iowa, and I'll go with 58 points.
58 points. Okay. All right. Doug's trying to talk me into it over there with his logic. And it is true, the last two times that Iowa State has lost to an FCS opponent in their first game, they've then turned around and beaten Iowa. The road team has won the last four, is that correct, in this series, I believe? So, interesting. I don't know. Wacky things happen, and that's the only thing that's going to convince me that Iowa State's going to win, because the results I saw on the field weren't convincing me of that so much last week. But I think they do have some great skill players, and that's where they're going to have to take advantage of it, is in the passing game. So if Mr. Lazard can get that last catch there to get him the win, I'm going to go... let's go 31-28. So, 56.
Huh?
56 points.
59.
59, no, 50. Perhaps.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I wrote down my...
It's all right. It's just five. Math. It's not important. Right, Matt?
That's right. Whatever. You
know. Something like that.
I wrote down my 8 is a 5. That doesn't work.
You just... Yeah. You just never know. Oh, yikes. Iowa, let's call it an even 60. 60 points total.
All right. We're looking for some points up on the board. And I guess
is Mike Warren, is he still play for Iowa State, by
he
the
does.
Way? He does. Was he hurt last week, or was there a reason they decided not to give one of the best young running backs in the country the football?
I think that had a lot to do with the five guys that were standing in front of him. But
that could be. Could very well be.
We'll see. That's going to have to change for them to be successful, that's for sure. So we'll see how it plays out in that one, and that's, of course, our tiebreaker here for the season. That's going to wrap up week number 3 here on Who's Going to Win. Once again, stay tuned. We'll have high school football coming up, as we'll have Griswold hosting Riverside. Join myself and Mike Smith for the broadcast, pregame on the way, and then we'll get kickoff at 7 o'clock here this evening. Thanks to Ag Business Associates and Nishna Valley Credit Union for bringing you this week's program. That's going to do it for Who's Going to Win.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.